tonight is going to be a little bit more preaching than teaching, but I made notes anyway. My wife tried to talk me out of it, but I went ahead and did it for you. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I don't know if that hinders you or if it helps you, making those notes. Okay. All right. Let's open our Bibles then to chapter 14 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. And we'll just read this or part of this passage again. We've read it before. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. And the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." Okay, just several points from that part of this passage here. This is not the message tonight, but just a couple things to notice. First of all, if you are redeemed by the risen Lamb, you are purchased, you are bought back from sin, from the devil, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you've got a song to sing. You get life beyond this one, and you are redeemed from the earth in the presence of the Lord. That's just something to notice there. It's a wonderful thing. Then the Bible says in verse 4, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, impress upon our hearts, Lord, that this is your word. Your word is to be heeded, and help us to understand and believe, Lord, that obeying your warnings and your commandments is the best thing for our lives. Will bring the most happiness and fulfillment in our lives. Help us to see that clearly tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now these 144,000, we saw them in chapter 7 when we studied there. These are the witnesses that God sent forth to witness during the tribulation. What we're concerned about tonight is this. It's a practical lesson. And this is a lesson that if you don't get it in this church or in one of the handful of churches like this one that are left in the world, you're just not going to get this. No one's preaching this message in the churches today. The Bible says in verse 4, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." In our world today, men are so intent on not offending anyone that they offend God instead. In our world today, we have men who are so concerned with someone leaving the church that they allow Jesus Christ to leave the church. I've got news for you. Doesn't matter what any preacher, minister, or rabbi tells you, you cannot be following Jesus Christ and be living in an adulterous relationship at the same time. You cannot be following the Lord Jesus Christ and be practicing any form of sexual immorality at the same time. Those two things are just not compatible. These men are undefiled with women. These men are pure men. And the reason is not because they're fruity, not because they're effeminate, not because they're made without natural affection. The reason that they're clean, the reason that they're pure, the reason that they're holy is because they are following the Lamb. That's it. We got all kinds of people trying to get shrinks to talk them out of their problems, or trying to pep talk themselves out of their problems, or trying to say 150 times, "I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't." Listen, you can try all that stuff that you want to, but there's only one road that leads out of sin, and that is the narrow road in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. There's only one road out of habit. There's only one road out of vice. There's only one road out of the entrapment and the entanglement of sin, and that is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can lead you out of sin. No group of men can lead you out of sin. No preacher can lead you out of sin. I don't care what sin it is. The only way to get out of it, or to stay out of it, or to keep from ever getting into it, is to follow every moment of every day the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way to do it. Listen, you can follow the Lord for a year and then lay your Bible aside. Drop out of Christian fellowship. Go back to trusting yourself and thinking your own way. You'll get right back in the trap. I'm telling you, the only way to get clean, the only way to stay clean, the only way to be clean is to follow the Lamb. Not where you want to go, but whithersoever he goeth. It's to follow the Lamb, not the way you think he ought to be followed, but the way he thinks he ought to be followed. The only way of safety is following the Lamb wherever the Lamb might lead. He won't lead you wrong. Amen. People say, well, I don't have to go to church. You don't have to do anything. But where would the Lamb lead you? Well, I don't have to read my Bible. You don't have to read anything. But where would the Lamb lead you? Well, I don't have to pray. You don't have to do anything. But where would the Lamb lead you? Now, I'm telling you, where Jesus leads, you'll be clean. And where Jesus doesn't lead, you're going to get defiled. That's just as simple as it can be. It's an easy message. And I tell you, we got all kinds of people. They invent their own Jesus. They write their own Bible. They set up their own set of standards. You talk to them on the street corner. You talk to them in their living room. And they're shacking up with somebody who's shacking up with somebody who's been shacking up with somebody else. And they'll look you right in the eye and they'll say, "Well, I love the Lord and I just don't think you ought to judge anybody." Well, you're wrong. You're just wrong. You don't love the Lord, and you should be judged. And if somebody doesn't come and judge you ahead of time, the Lord is going to judge you in that last day. Then you'll wish to God somebody had judged you ahead of time. We're doing you a favor. Amen. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you're not clean, you're not following the Lord. That's just the way it goes. The Bible says, "These are they which were not defiled with women." To defile means to make unclean, to render foul or dirty, to pollute or to corrupt. Okay, now keep your place there and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And then we'll be going to Hebrews chapter 13. First Timothy 4 and Hebrews 13. These men were virgins. These men were not defiled with women. First Timothy chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 13. See, the reason preachers won't preach these things is because we live in a society whose actions are dictated entirely by their feelings. works. The question people ask today is not, is adultery wrong? The question they're asking is, how do you feel about somebody who commits adultery? Nobody cares about your feelings on that subject. How about we get some facts? Okay, here are the facts. You are going to feel rotten if you're not right with God. That's a fact. You are going to feel terrible if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin every moment of the day. You are going to feel cheated if you get to the judgment and you went to church and you knew Christians and you went to work with a saved man on the job and none of them in sin. You're going to say, why didn't they tell me? So it's better, I'm just saying, it's better to get your feelings hurt while there's time to get right than to get your feelings hurt when it's too late. It doesn't matter how anybody feels about this thing. This is what God said. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, in going through these verses of Scripture, we often highlight this point. You've probably heard this before, and that is that there are many religions in the world today which forbid their priests or their ministers or their devoted followers, they forbid them to marry. And the Bible would have us to understand that a religion that would tell you that it's sinful, that it's wrong to marry, that is a satanic religion. Okay, that's biblical. That's what this passage does teach that. But let me give you what is also included in these verses. When your friends, when your relatives, when your partner tells you, oh no, let's not get married. Oh no, let's just try it out first. No, let's just shack up. Oh no, let's just do the communal common law thing. The Bible says that instruction came from the devil. I'll show you. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Now these men, in Revelation 14, these men were not defiled with women. Does that mean that women are defiling? No. Allow the Bible to interpret the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Now, so these men, they were not married. Had these unmarried men had physical relations with a woman, then they would have been defiled because they were unmarried. Not because the woman defiles, but because sin defiles. Now, if the man and the woman are joined in holy matrimony, if they're married, there is no defilement. Because the man doesn't defile the woman doesn't defile the man, sin defiles everyone that commits sin. You say, well, I just don't agree with that. And you say, well, Brother Bob, you're just way behind the times. You need to get up to speed. We're living in a 21st century, enlightened, free-thinking, progressive age today. Free love. Free love. Yeah, well, we've come full circle, haven't we? But guess what? Love is not free. if it's free, it isn't love. Because love is commitment. Love is a binding relationship. One is a union where two people are joined by God so they can't get away from one another. That's not freedom. You say free love. The Lord gives free love. It doesn't cost you anything, but it cost him plenty. Now watch this, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers. narrow-minded bigots like Brother Bob suggests will be judged. No, that's not the Bible. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Say, preacher, I thought if a man was saved, he'd go to heaven and he couldn't lose that. You're right, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about that long and winding road that you travel between here, so reap. And God told you ahead of time, we just lost the Zoom people, God told you ahead of time that immoral relations with a member of the opposite sex will render you unclean. They'll render you foul. They'll render you dirty. They'll pollute you. They'll corrupt you. Now, nobody wrote that to hurt somebody. If God wanted to hurt people, he just wouldn't have told them. He'd have just let them go on their way and get themselves into trouble. But because God doesn't want people hurt, because God does not want people to ruin their lives, he tells them ahead of time. If you go out and witness in public, places where there's bars and or drinking parties, people coming and going from those places, you'll get someone who'll say something like, I got a question for you. What's wrong with smoking marijuana? God made marijuana. You know, they're so smart, you know, always so smart. And then some smart young fella, he'll say, is God against sex? You know, smart boy, real smart young man, great honor to his mother and his father. But here's the answer to a dumb question like that. Just say, are you kidding? God invented it. But the guy that invents it gets to also make the rules. And God made the rules. And here's the rules. A man married to a woman is honorable. And what they do in bed won't defile them. But any other kind of joining between men and women, those, he says, are whoremongers, and they will reap judgment. Okay, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 now. 1 Corinthians 9. And then 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 9 and 1 Timothy chapter 5. And this won't take long here. This is easy. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 4. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? So notice, just showing you here that it is within the rights of Bible Christianity for a man and a woman to be married. When he says they're holy, when he says they're undefiled, when he says they have not been made polluted by women, he's simply saying they did not violate the rules that God set forth for human relationships. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Bible says this in verse number 14. 1 Timothy 5:14. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Now, a young man may have to seek God's face for years, trying to determine what God's will is for his life. You know, what field, what career, what branch of service, what activity, what labor. Young ladies, you got it made. You have nothing to pray about. You've got nothing to fast about. You got nothing to seek God about. God laid it out for you in one verse, his will for your life. marry, bear children, guide the house, and don't get out of bounds or else the devil will take advantage of you. That's pretty easy. I mean, as far as easy to know God's will anyway. The Bible's not a hard book. Just says a lot of things that people don't like. I don't read the Bible. I can't understand it. No, you read it one day and you did understand it. And you said, I'm not reading that again. That's how those things go. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Proverbs 31 verse 3 says, give not thy strength unto women. And in 1 Samuel 21, David said, our men are fit, our men are clean, they have kept themselves at least from women. Now, here's what the Lord wants us to understand. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 25. And then we'll go to chapter 6 in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 7:25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. You say, well, this is just Paul's opinion then. It's not the word of God. No, because the Holy Spirit told Peter to put in the Bible that what Paul wrote in his epistles were scripture inspired by God. Maybe Paul didn't know it, which means that inspiration doesn't mean that you get a bolt of lightning up your arm and tingles up and down your spine. It means that God had these men write down what God wanted written down. The men weren't inspired, the words were inspired. But watch what he says in verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And then you read on down, the same thing is said about the woman. Now, it is a doctrine of the devil to say you can't get married if you're going to serve the Lord. The word of God says it's all right to get married and serve the Lord. But the Bible also just simply reminds you that if you want to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, don't get married. Because once you're married, part of serving the Lord is going to be serving your wife and your children. And so these 144,000 witnesses, they just said, we will make ourselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I'm not saying that they performed a physical operation on themselves, but I'm saying they purposed in their hearts. They said, we are not going to enter into that marriage relationship because time is short. We know that the Lord is coming in less than 7 years. Therefore, why be burdened with a wife? Why be burdened with children? We need to give all that time to the Lord. And once they made that commitment before God, they did not defile themselves by saying, well, there's no time to get married, no time for a family, but God will understand a trip to the prostitute's house. God will understand a little relationship here and there. No, they were pure. They were clean. They were holy. They gave themselves entirely to serve God. That was the situation. Okay, now back up to verse number six, or chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If I was married, I'd serve God with every minute I had. If I was unmarried, I would serve God with every minute I had. Why? Because married or unmarried, every minute that I'm not serving God, I'm giving Satan an opportunity to make an inroad into my life. If you notice, there's a couple of things that characterize people around here, some people. Not only are they very happy about serving the Lord, but they're also very, very busy people. So there's a reason why that you're in fellowship this evening with clean living, good testimony, holy men and women, because they don't have much time to be otherwise. That's safe. That's the way God made things. Now, 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 13. Meats for the belly and belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. In case you're wondering what to put in those blank spots in your notes, there you go. And the Lord for the body. Why do we have a body? So the saved soul within may have a vessel through which to serve God. That's what our body is for. Verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid that as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and a member of the body of Christ, I should defile myself and pollute myself by sinning against the Lord. Verse 16, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So there's a contrast there, you see it, between the flesh and the spirit. We are to do what? We are to not major on the flesh, but major on the spirit. My flesh may be drawn after certain lusts, but praise God, my spirit, empowered by God, by God's own Holy Spirit, is to triumph over the lusts and desires of the flesh. Verse number 18, flee fornication. You say, I'm weak, then run. You say, I'm easily tempted, then run. You say, I've got certain shortcomings, then run. Don't ponder, don't plot, don't scheme, don't plan, don't tiptoe and see how close you can get before you get caught. Run. Why do we preach against these movies? Why do we preach against these magazines? Why do we preach against this music? Why do we preach against the wrong kinds of friends? We want you to run. We don't want you getting this close and then trying to see how good you are at getting away from it. We want you to run. Don't even tempt it. Verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Chapter 7. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to go too far with a woman. Well, all right, how far is too far? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. You say, well, preacher, you know, everybody's got different limitations. Some guys have more willpower than others do. Some of us can go this far and be okay. Some can go that far. The Lord said, okay, I tell you what, let's do. So that the preacher doesn't have to explain to anybody how far is too far. Young man, just don't touch her. Young lady, don't let him touch you. And then you don't have to argue about how far is too far. If you don't know how far you can go down a road without getting into trouble, just stay off that road. If you don't know how high up the ladder you can climb without falling off, don't get on the ladder. That's safe, isn't it? Better safe than sorry. Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So what is God's remedy for the natural desires and drives that he put within men and women? Marriage. It's honorable. It won't defile. Verse number 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. That's sacrificial giving of oneself. Give yourself to your spouse. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. Again, sacrificial giving of oneself. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Why is it important to come together again? That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Notice, I withdraw myself from the physical aspects of the marriage bond. Why? To give myself more wholly to the service of the Lord. That service, once it's completed, now I return to the full aspects of the marriage relationship. Notice, if I'm not married, I'm out there in prayer and fasting and serving God, and I can stay there. Okay, I can stay there. But once I'm married, sure, I can go out there for a time, but I can't stay there because part of my service to the Lord is serving my wife, serving my children and my family. So you just as a couple, you decide ahead of time. Do I want to be pure in body and serve God without distraction? Or is that too high a calling for me? Okay, is it too much a distraction for me? And if it is, I'll marry and I'll stay pure in body within the bounds of the marriage relationship, knowing that it is going to limit my outside service for God, but I will not be discouraged, nor will I allow myself to be criticized by the self-righteous brethren, because I'm still serving the Lord who told me to care for my wife, told me to care for my children, and did not forbid marrying. Verse number 6. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Okay, we talked about that. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. What did he say? He said, my experience as an apostle serving God is, you're better off with nothing to do but serving God. But if you can't serve God because you're so distracted by the desires of your flesh, then it's better to get married than to pretend like you're serving God when you've ruined your testimony. That's what we're talking about here. One more verse, one more passage, Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. I'll read you something here that you don't get in the Genesis account. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent in fire from heaven to destroy that city because of their sexual immorality. But watch this. Ezekiel 16 and verse number 48. Ezekiel 16, 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. So do you know what caused the trouble in Sodom? They were proud, they were full, and they didn't have enough to do. And as a result, they found themselves in trouble. You ready? According to the Word of God, man was made to work and to multiply. In his fallen state, he refuses the former, to work, and thus he perverts the latter. God made man, put him in a garden, said, "Work, and you and your wife have children, and raise them." Man fell, and ever since that day, he's been trying to figure out a way to get out of work. And if he doesn't have enough work to do, he's going to end up perverting the sexual relationship. So why do we tell you, get a job, keep a job, work a job, and when you're off the job, get busy for the Lord, serve God, work for God, fellowship with God's people, be in the church house? Why? Because the fallen nature of man cannot be trusted to sit around and do nothing. He's going to find something to do, and if it's not doing something for God, it's going to be doing something he shouldn't be doing. Fasten your seatbelts. When the stronger vessel, the man, does not work, or when the weaker vessel, the woman, goes to work, Satan gets an advantage. When the man is not out there working like God told him to do, so that the young woman can marry, bear children, and be a keeper at home, he is opening himself up to the devil. And when she goes out in that place of deception, out there in the world, out there in the workplace, the place of lust, the place of allurement, then she is putting herself out there as a target for the devil. And so what we have done, because the man didn't believe God and do what God said to do, and therefore the woman either didn't believe God and do what God told her to do, or maybe she was forced out of God's will by the rebellion and disobedience of the man, the devil's having his way in our society because of that. And I'm going to tell you something, and you may not like this, but if you want to trace the problem with teen crime, school dropouts, and all the rest of that stuff, you can run every bit of it back to the fact that the man did not provide for that household, or didn't stay as the head of that household, and that woman ended up out there where she didn't belong, according to God's word, that is. And with no mama and no daddy, the children were left to basically raise themselves. Or they let the TV raise them. And the devil got them. The devil got them. And that's happening more and more these days. Listen, the most unpopular thing I could preach is what I'm preaching. But I'm telling you, if you run that thing back, sexual immorality will be at the root of every one of our society's problems. Every one of them. All these broken homes today make it a real challenge. I mean, a lady says, "Pastor, you know, you're getting on me, but I have to work. I have to. Well, my husband went off and left me." And I understand that. I understand that happens. It happens a lot. I know what we're dealing with. But I'm just taking you back, and I'm just trying to tell you why we're dealing with that. We're dealing with it because that man would not be faithful to the vows that he made before God. And I'm telling you, that thing runs back to a problem with sexual immorality, and preachers won't preach against it because people don't want to hear it. But I'm telling you the truth, there are some boundaries, and inside those boundaries, you'll be blessed, you'll be happy all your days. God's boundaries. And outside of those boundaries, you just keep looking for the right partner. You keep looking for the right thrill. You keep looking for something that can make you happy. You're going to keep on looking until you end up where the Sodomites ended up, in Sodom and Gomorrah. And because you're not going to find it. Not out there. Not outside those boundaries. You'll not find happiness outside of God's boundaries. And you won't find anything but happiness inside God's boundaries. That's just the truth from the Word of God, from somebody that cares enough to tell you what you may not even want to hear. Amen. Young people, if you think that a boyfriend or a girlfriend is going to make you happy, you're wrong. Jesus Christ will make you happy, or you won't be happy. Mr. Single Man, if you think a wife is going to make you happy, you're wrong. Either you get happy in Jesus Christ, or you're just not going to be happy. Miss Single Woman, if you think Mr. Wonderful is going to make you happy, you're wrong. If you don't find your happiness in Jesus Christ, you're not going to find it. There's no man on earth who can make you happy. There's no woman on earth who can make you happy. There's no relationship on earth that can make you happy. But a right relationship with Jesus Christ, if you get that one fixed, you will be amazed at how all the other ones get turned around. If you get saved, you'll probably find out you got a whole different husband. If you get saved, you'll probably find out you got a whole different wife, whole different set of mom and dad, whole different set of kids. I'm telling you, what changes your world is your relationship to Jesus Christ. That will make the difference. Amen. Now, I told you the truth tonight. I showed it to you from the Bible. So don't leave out of here and say, "Brother Bob this and Brother Bob that, I think, I feel." Never mind that. What did the Bible say? What did the Bible say? And you'll be happy living clean. You won't be happy living any other way. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your admonitions, for your warnings in the Bible, for showing us what will truly make us happy in the Lord, showing us what will ruin our lives if we don't heed your warnings. Lord, we thank you that you've shown us that we don't have to be lonely in this world. We are allowed by you to take a wife, get married, have children, have a family, Lord, you've also not left us thinking that it's easy, and you've shown us that there are problems with that situation, and it's more difficult to serve you that way. But Lord, we just pray that you'll help everyone here tonight to desire to serve you with all of the time that they have, all the time that they possibly can. Help us, Lord, to want to do that, to not be wasting our time doing things that make us idle, things that will give the devil an opportunity to get in our lives and ruin us, make us useless for the things of God. Lord, we want you to be able to use our lives for your benefit, for the benefit of others. So we pray, Lord, you'll help us to heed your word, to stay in line according to what you tell us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.